Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is your Tuesday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. Mike's getting closer. We got training camp rosters today, at least for some teams. I don't know, did the Leafs release anything?
No, we're not going to get our rosters until tomorrow morning when camp starts. So it's like, hey, It's camp, and here's the roster, as opposed to me being able to dissect it on Locked On Leafs. I now have to wait until tomorrow, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm really excited. 24 hours away from training camp, and there's still some guys, though, that are unsigned. Like, I know we just saw Kaprizov. We'll get to it in a moment. We just saw Kaprizov finally sign his deal, which is a mammoth contract, but there's still like a bunch of like really high-end RFAs that have yet to sign, and we're now at the eve of training camp.
We are. By the way, we're gonna get to Kaprizov. We're gonna get to these players in a second, but we're also going to do over under. So Friday's episode, me and Rachel Donner went through the Western Conference. Today, me and Mike are gonna pick the Eastern Conference over unders for each team in the Atlantic and the Metropolitan Division. So that's upcoming on today's episode as well. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Mike is at Mickey_Canuck. But yeah, camps are coming. And I know here in Buffalo, Rasmus Dahlin is a restricted free agent that is unsigned. Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa, Robert Thomas in St. Louis. And then in Vancouver, you got both Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson. Let's start there in Vancouver, because I know you pay attention closely to the Canucks. What's the vibe out there for those two players?
Well, Pettersson came to the city, apparently, and kind of did like a quick physical and then hopped on a plane and went to Michigan to go and kind of hang out and train with Quinn Hughes. So they're both kind of hanging in Michigan until something gets sorted out. Their agents are hard at work negotiating with Jim Benning. They're hoping to get them into camp, obviously. But it sounds like something will get done. It's a matter of, you know, when and what type of deal is it going to be? So it's really there's a lot of question marks when it comes to these contracts with these young players. But the assumption is that it will get done. They will get to camp at some point here in the next little bit. And they'll both start the season with the Vancouver Canucks.
All right. And then I know here in Buffalo, just to give you a little wrap on Rasmus Dahlin, they're expecting that deal to get done. In fact, that deal has to get done because the Sabres sit like $7 million below the cap floor and everybody else is signed. So, I mean, there's nobody on free agency. You're going to go sign today to get $7 million. I mean, I guess you could go pick up. I mean, they could go give Jaromír Jágr $7 million just to get above the cap floor. They can give it to anybody. You give it to me if they just want to get above the cap floor. But the guy I think that they'll use that space for is Rasmus Dahlin. So that's going to get done. I think it, by the way, will eclipse that $7 million figure.
That was going to be my question to you. Like, what do you see that number coming in at? Are there any figures that are being thrown around? Any reports going on in Buffalo over the last few days?
We don't have anything solid. It's mostly speculation looking at comparable contracts like Miro Heiskanen in Dallas, who got an 8-year deal worth $8.45 million per year. Kel McCarr was above that. I think he'll come in underneath that, but I wonder if Dahlin wants that. Dahlin, he was unbelievable in the second half of last season after Ralph Krueger was fired. I mean, he looked like the guy the Sabres thought they were getting when they drafted him first overall. And Dahlin might be thinking, well, yeah, of course you want to sign me long-term right now for 8 years, $8 million per, because you're afraid, well, you're not afraid, but in 2 years, you might think I'm an $11 million player. So I think that's really where the haggling is coming in right now. I think either way, when this deal gets done, I think it's going to be around somewhere between $8 to $8.5 million a year. I think the difference is right now the Sabres want him locked in on that cap figure for 8 years, and Dahlin wants it for 2 or 3 so that he can cash in again on a bigger figure in the coming years. So I think it's more about the years for him right now. That's just my read on the situation, even though there's not a lot that's solid on it. So yeah. And then in Ottawa with Brady Tkachuk, I mean, who else are they going to pay? Like, they've got elite players, elite prospects at a couple positions. And at forward, like, Tkachuk's your guy. Like, Tkachuk's the foundation piece. for your forward group. I don't know. I haven't read anything about what he's asking for, but how are the Senators not have that to ink yet?
I think I saw something that he's coming in and they offered like 8x8, or he's looking to get 8x8, something in that range, I believe. And I mean, for a guy, look, it's crazy what these guys are getting coming out of their entry levels now. Like, there's no bridge, no nothing. It's right into the big boy contracts. Like, this guy has scored 60 goals in his NHL career, and he's looking to cash in for $8 million over the next 8 years. Like, it's absolutely insane. And I know it's kind of a big gamble. And if you're Ottawa, I understand, yeah, you got to pay this guy. But kind of look at the, like, you've made a lot of bad decisions when it comes to paying people. Like, they went out, they thought Colin White was their guy. They paid him. They gave him some good money, some good term. It hasn't really turned out to be that. He was like their fourth line center last year, and he was scratched a lot, and he's making $4.75 million. He's only 24, has a chance to turn things around. But it went south after he signed that big contract. Kind of the same thing happened with Bobby Ryan. It went south after that signed him that big contract. Last year, they went head over heels to get Matt Murray. They brought him in, trade a couple picks, and signed him to a 6.25 multi-year deal. And he went on to be one of the worst goaltenders in the NHL last year. So, I mean, I can understand the hesitancy to maybe want to do a bridge deal and make sure that Brady Tkachuk is that guy. I think he's going to be the future captain of this team. So I think that they do see him as a long-term piece for him. But at the same time, I understand the hesitancy to just give him whatever he wants, to give him a blank check, because it's bit them in the ass so many times already in Ottawa. And we all know how cheap their owner is.
Yep. As is.
So, yep. Like, but they're in the same situation in Buffalo, where they're a couple mil under the cap. So like, or under the cap floor. Under the floor. So, I mean, they need to sign him at some point to even get to the floor, but it's just a matter of what are they going to sign him at.
All right. And then finally on this front, RFAs that are unsigned with training camp right around the corner. Robert Thomas in St. Louis, big year a couple of years ago with 42 points in 66 games, but his points per game came down a little bit this past season with 12 points in 33 games. How do they sign him? They got $700,000 in cap space, unless I'm missing someone that's going to go on LTIR. I mean, if the Blues want to re-sign Robert Thomas, I mean, they've got it. It seems like they got to make a move.
Yeah, I'm just taking a look right now to see what maybe they could do to try and open up cap space. But
Tarasenko.
That is an issue. But I mean, Tarasenko is one guy. But Tarasenko's good now.
But
isn't he?
But he's good, but he doesn't want to be there, I think, is the thing.
Right, but you can't put him on LTIR just because he wants out of the city.
Well, okay, like, right, yes.
Right? Like he came back last year, so you can't put him on LTIR. Like, there's no... I don't know how they're going to get this money, to be quite honest with you. That's a good point. They went out, they signed Brandon Saad to a big money deal, gave him some cash. They traded for Pavel Buchnevich and gave him almost $6 million. They still got Vladimir Tarasenko, who they're probably still looking into dealing away at some point. I don't know if he's going to be here for the long haul, but they also don't want to give him away. He's still a very valuable player, I would assume, to them. Right. It's going to be interesting to see how that kind of comes about. What do they have in cap space? Like, yeah, they only got a couple, like not even $1 million. This is an interesting one. This is really an interesting one. They're going to have to do some cap gymnastics. Maybe this is where a team like Buffalo or a team like Ottawa, who have cap just sitting there saying, hey, we'll take a player off your hands. You want to move on from a guy like...
Yeah, who is that, though?
Maybe Ivan Barbashev, perhaps. Someone who has a little bit of some upside, I suppose. Even, I don't know, Nico Mikula. He's not really making much money, so maybe not there. But, I mean, I think that this is an opportunity for some teams to come calling and say, hey, you need to get out of this contract. You're paying... You know, Barbashev, $2.25 million. You could use that to go and get Robert Thomas on a deal. We'll take him off your hands for a third-round pick. And you can get a pretty cheap, decent player just based on the fact that St. Louis has to do something. They have to. They can't not have Robert Thomas on this team. He's going to be a big part of this team's future.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Tarasenko, and I would read into this, that they exposed him to the expansion draft. Like, they were perfectly willing, if not even wanting, Seattle to take that $7.5 million off their books.
Are you suggesting that they may waive Tarasenko and hope that someone claims him?
I'm wondering that. Isn't that kind of the same thing as exposing him to Seattle?
It's so funny that you say that, because I remember, I think I maybe even pose this to you. I know I pose this to a few hockey people, and I think I toss this in the group as well, our Twitter group that we got going with all the Locked On podcast hosts. Yeah. I think I said something about Tarasenko, and I thought he was very much overvalued. Like, people are saying, oh, I'll give up a first rounder and this. I'm like, I don't know if that's the case. I think the trade that I came up with was like Tarasenko for Drouin, and I got laughed out the room. I was like, two guys who could use a new change of scenery, and I got laughed out the room, Joe. And now you're sitting here and you're telling me
I'm saying they're going to waive him.
They're willing to just waive him, get rid of him. And I agree that that could potentially happen. Like, I don't think that would be smart. I think that he still has value. He still is a very good hockey player.
Yes.
They're not going to do that. I don't think it'll get to that. They'll get something. Even if it's like a second round pick or a prospect or something, they'll get something for it. They also don't need to open up $7.5 million. I mean, Robert Thomas didn't have that great of a year. I think a couple million bucks could do it. Even really, Zach Sanford's making $2 million. Try and ship his contract elsewhere, and boom, you've got yourself $2.5 million to go and sign Robert Thomas. I mean, it could be as easy as that, right?
Right. They don't need that much. And again, I'm not arguing they do it. I like Tarasenko a lot, and I think they'd be crazy to do this. I thought they were crazy to expose him to Seattle, but again, that move, like, the Blues already told you that they were willing to let him go for nothing. Like, they did. They already told you that's something that they're okay with. So again, I think the more likely outcome is he will get traded for like a draft pick or something at some point. But that doesn't have to happen by the start of the season for Thomas. They could do something else. All right. Before we get into our Eastern Conference over-unders, I want to tell you about DirecTV Stream. It's a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. All right. Regular season over under point totals, courtesy of our partners at betonline.ag. You can get a welcome bonus at betonline.ag by using the promo code Locked On when you make your bet. I've got a couple of futures in, so I've done it. It works. But let's go through some over-unders. We did the Western Conference on Friday. We're doing the Eastern Conference today. We'll go in alphabetical order. We start with the Boston Bruins. Their over-under point total is set at 103.5. Mike, at 103.5, are you leaning on the over or the under for Boston?
Ooh, 103.5. I'm going to take the under on that one, but just slightly under. That's a lot of points, first and foremost. And that's a tough division. You're going up against the Maple Leafs, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Florida Panthers. I think that a team like Ottawa, should they end up signing Brady Tkachuk, at least, will be, you know, up in there. They'll be feisty and be able to kind of steal some points from teams. I think it's going to be a little bit difficult for them to get that high. So I'm going to take the under, but just slightly under.
I'm going to go with the over. I like their top six a lot, bringing Taylor Hall back. And
have they replaced David Krejci, though? Like, that's my issue. Like, they added Taylor Hall, but have they replaced Krejci? Who's going to step in and be the guy to get Taylor Hall the puck?
Now they have not done that, but they have not done that. Charlie Coyle is probably going to start the season as their number two center, and he is not David Krejci by any means. Mm-hmm. But after watching Taylor Hall in Buffalo, I don't think he really works well with centermen like that. I think you want him with almost a finisher. Like, even though he starts the possession on the wing, the way he plays, I mean, he plays at his best when he is the puck carrier, when he is the zone entry man, when he's the guy setting things up. And I don't know that losing Krejci is going to hurt him all that much. I think it will hurt the Bruins to not have a reliable second line center, because you never know what you're getting from Coyle. And Eric Halla, I think, is behind him. Thomas Nosek, that rounds out their center group. I think Hall will produce, though, whether or not he's got a Krejci-level guy in the middle or not. And really, the other reason I would pick the over is I think Linus Allmark is going. I mean, I told you, I'm the highest guy in the world on him. I have a bet on him at BetOnline to win the Vezina. And I think he's going to be strong. I think he's going to be good. And he's going to give them the exact, or at least close to the level of goaltending that they've been getting from Tuukka Rask in his mid-30s. So I'm going over on Boston at 103.5, but I agree with you. It is a tough division. It's a good line. This one is the lowest point total in the NHL. My Buffalo Sabres at 65.5. Actually, when these numbers came out about a week ago, the Coyotes were at the bottom at 67.5, and the Sabres were at 69.5, but the bettors pushed that line down because all the money was coming in on the under. So BetOnline moved it down to 65.5. So now the Sabres are at the bottom of the league because the bettors pushed it down. So I'll let you go first on Buffalo, the lowest total in the league. It is painfully low, 65.5 over or under.
All right. 65.5. So how many wins is that? Let's say, so that's what, 30 wins, but you got to assume that they get a couple of 1-point games. So can they get 25? 7 wins. That's the question that I think I have here. Do I think they can get 27 wins? I'm going to go under. I am going to go under. Let me see how many points they had.
So I have a comparable from the last full NHL season. That was the 2018-2019 season. The Ottawa Senators finished dead last in the league with 64 points. They went 29-47-6 was their record in that season.
Right. So that's like that 27 win mark that I'm referring to there. So I guess 29 plus they got some. I'm still going to take the under, man. Like, honestly, this Buffalo team is gross. Like, yeah. who's a net for Buffalo? Who's going to stop pucks?
Now, that is really the big reason why I'm going under. I'm like, actually
crap, like, also what's happening with Jack Eichel. You have no more Sam Reinhart. What is trending in a positive direction for this team? Outside of the fact that maybe, like you said earlier in the pod, Rasmus Dahlin played a little bit better under Don Granato. Outside of that, there's no positive trends here for the Buffalo Sabres.
So I'm very bullish on their blue line. I think the top pair last year, once Don Granato put them together, Rasmus Dahlin, Henry Okiharju, that they played darn right great. Game in and game out. They were consistent. They were moving the puck. They had the puck. I think Dahlin and then Henry Okiharju, who was a first round pick a couple of years ago. I think that's a really good top pair, even though they're as young as they are. And I like the rest of the blue line. It's not great, but Will Butcher has had good possession metrics. He's not as good as the numbers, or at least the point total was a couple of years ago. Mark Pesek, same thing. Like, the Sabres kind of have gone this analytical route in their front office this offseason. And I think their blue line is really the first group that they did a makeover on for that. And there's a couple forwards I like, not to the roles they're in. Dylan Cousins is not ready to be a number one center. Like, he's probably going to be playing. Casey Mittelstadt looked good last year. He's not ready, or he's really maybe not ever going to be ready to be a number two center. So part of me, they don't have a lot else. And part of me, because of even those few bright spots, would want to say 65 points is nothing, but your goalie's Craig Anderson. Even if you overachieve at forward and on defense, you have, if not the worst starting goalie in the league, you have the second worst starting goalie in the league, because Carter Hutton is the Coyotes starting goalie. But you have one of the two worst starting goalies in the league. So even if you overachieve up front, even if you overachieve on the blue line, I think you'd still be under. So I'm hammering the under on the Sabres, 65.5. I think this could be close to the Avalanche a couple of years ago when they had 48 points. I think it would be closer to the 48 than I think the 65.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I don't know who's going to fill the net, and I don't know who's going to stop pucks. You know what sucks? Your boy, Will Borgen, not going to be there. That's why they're going to lose games.
That Will Borgen's not going to be there.
So broken up over that, buddy.
I know. Who's next? Carolina Hurricanes. What we got for Carolina? 97.5. That seems like a little bit of a low number for me for Carolina. But I don't know about you, Mike. I did not like the moves they made in goal. I mean, I felt like they finally figured it out. Like, they had been chasing goalie for so many years. They had such a good team for so many years. and they would just get sunken by their goaltending. And boom, Alex Nedeljkovic, like, all right, this guy looks pretty good. He's, if we found our young number one goalie, and then they just decided that's over, I guess. And they're going with Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta. I didn't like that at all.
You know what makes me feel good about this? I'm taking the over, by the way, because I love this team, the way they're constructed. I think they may be, if not the one of the deepest teams in the entire NHL, especially since Tampa had to dismantle the depth that they had due to salary cap constraints. But I really, really do like this team. Like, up front, too, they just got better. Like, they went and they added Kotkaniemi, who's going to move to the wing, and that's going to provide some good skill there. I mean, you've already had Sebastian Aho, Andre Sveshnikov. You've got Jordan Staal down the middle as well. Toivo Teravainen, Vinny Trocheck is back to being a top six stud. Nino Niederreiter, Martin Nakash, who's like one of the more underrated players in the league. He's come still on his rookie deal too. Like, that's wild. He's making $863,000 and they're gonna get like 60 points out of the guy. Insane. And then still one of the most deepest teams in the NHL when it comes to their defense. The goaltending, like you said, is a little worrisome, and it is a massive, massive roll of the dice. Here's what I would say to that. Carolina, if you look at every goalie who has played for them over the last couple of seasons, has had success. Whether it's Peter Mrazek, whether that's Curtis McElhinney, whether that's who was
Nedeljkovic, Alex Nedeljkovic.
Nedeljkovic, but that's not who I was thinking of. He played for Reimer. James Reimer also had success with Carolina. So every single goalie who's gone there has had success, which leads me to believe, and numbers would also suggest this, the advanced analytics, that it's because the system that they play there really helps the goaltender and the players like a guy like Jacob Slavin and Brady Shea, Brett Pesce. The style of game that they play really helps the goaltender. They've got guys up front who play a great two-way game and come back and they back check hard and they fill lanes. Because of that, I think that they can get away with a guy like Freddie Anderson. Here in Toronto, we've always said this: if Freddie went to a team, and we've always actually said Carolina, if you went to a team that played the way that they play defensively, Freddie could be a great goaltender, like a great one. He's been a good one in Toronto, but could be a great goaltender. Now, he's 31. He's had some injury issues, so there is going to be question marks when it comes to that. Raanta also has injury question marks, so it's going to be a total dice roll, but I'm not as worried as maybe some would be with Fred Anderson, because I think he's in a much better situation than he was in Toronto the last couple seasons.
Forgot about David Ayres.
There you go. Backup Golden and E-Bug. Dude, there's a reason why I forgot about David Ayres, by the way.
Yes, I
know. He put it in E-Bug, and because the team plays so well in front of him, Austin Matthews can't score on the guy. Mitch Marner, John Tavares, William Nylander, Morgan Rielly, none of these guys were able to put the puck past this dude, and they're able to rattle off a victory against one of the top teams in the NHL, one of the top offenses in the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think Freddie will be okay.
Mm-hmm. I, despite being negative on their goalie situation, I would go over as well for a lot of the reasons you just went over. I think they're so deep up front, and I think they've such an underrated blue line. They've kind of always had an underrated blue line, and maybe that's made it properly rated because I feel like that's always said. But I would go over on Carolina because that number is a little low for me at 97 and a half.
I have them actually. I've got a bet over at Bet Online, a futures bet for them to win the division. And I think right now you can get at like plus 650, I think I was able to get it at, which to me is a steal. That was like third or fourth in the division. And I'm like, I think they can win this division. Like,
I like that a lot.
I think they're a better team than the Islanders. I think they're a better team than Washington, than Pittsburgh. And all those teams were ranked ahead of them. And I'm like, I see Carolina coming out with the dub. So you can make that bet over at BetOnline as well. I think that's a really good value bet. If you think that Carolina is going to hit the over, the real value bet, I believe, at this point in the season would be to take them as the Metro Division winners.
And they're certainly a better team than the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are next on our list here at 76.5 points. That's one of the lower totals that you could get on the site. What did we get from Columbus this offseason? Not a lot. They just re-signed Elvis Merzlikins today to a $5.4 million a year deal over 5 years. So he's going to continue to roll with him in net with Jonas Korpisalo as a tandem. They traded Seth Jones, obviously, away. Adam Boqvist is now on their team. What do you like for Columbus?
What was the number there? 70?
76 and a half.
76 and a half. What? Oh, let me see what that means. So 76 and a half would put them. I mean, that puts them in top 25 territory in the league compared to the last time we had an 82 game season, which was 3 years ago at this point. Well, 2 years ago, I guess. So do I see them as a better than a bottom five team in the league? I don't know. They're a weird team. Like, they have a lot of skill. Like, they got Voracek back in there. So I think Voracek still has something left in the tank that could help. They still have Patrick Laine. Like, I think Laine is still a heck of a talent. Alex Bjorkstrand had a really solid year. Boone Jenner, Jack Roslovic did really well after the trade coming in from Winnipeg. So they've got some decent offensive players who could put up some points. But again, moving on from Seth Jones was gut-wrenching for this team. I think that was a massive part of their identity. They still have Werenski. Who's their coach?
Oh, they hired one of their assistants. Brad Larson.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So first year head coach. This is a tough number, man.
I'll tell you mine. I'm going under on them. I think their center depth is some of the worst in the league. I like Jack Roslovic, but not as my number one center. I don't even think Max Domi is a natural center. No. Sean Corrali, Alex Teixeira, like, to me, they're going to get abused down the middle, especially in that division.
I do like Texier as a player. Yeah. I think he could be a decent middle six centerman, but I might have to agree with you. There's just not a whole lot of guarantees on here. I mean, even like Laine is a question mark, like a massive question mark. And what are you going to get out of Max Domi too? So you're right. There's a lot of question marks here outside of, I guess, Zach Werenski. I mean, I'm a big fan of the goaltending that they got there, Merzlikins and Korpisalo. I really like them both. But at the end of the day, there's just probably not enough offense to support them. So yeah, probably go with the under.
Similar point total for Detroit. They're at 77 and a half. I likewise with Columbus. I don't like the Detroit roster on the whole. I do think Steve Yzerman has made some kind of savvy moves, and I think they're on the way up. I loved the Jacob Vrana trade at the deadline last year. Yep. But still, like, Pius Suter is a nice addition for them. But a lot of it is internal. Like, I think they're still waiting for Philip Zadina to give them something. I think, you know, on the blue line, Hronek, the Czech guy that they have on the, who's playing on their top pair.
I like him, actually. I think
he's a
pretty solid player.
I do too. And I like the Nedeljkovic trade to go back to the Carolina point from earlier. But
the rest of the blue line is hideous.
Right. And they just don't have enough depth for me.
Yeah. I'm going to take the over though. I like the additions that they've been able to make. Keep in mind last year, Larkin wasn't there for a majority of the season. Tyler Bertuzzi wasn't there for a majority of the season. You now have a full year of Jacob Vrana. Pia Suter was a solid addition. I'm still perplexed as to why Chicago let him go, to be quite honest with you. I feel like you could have traded his rights and could have got something for him as opposed to letting him walk, but that's neither here nor there. You know, Robbie Fabry, I think he's a decent player still. I think Zadina is primed to have a pretty big season. It's now his third year in over in the NHL. So I think Zadina should be able to put up some points. And the defense is a little bit sketchy. And Nedeljkovic is not going to have the same success he had in Carolina. He's just not. Like, his numbers are going to hit the toilet. Like, they're going to be so garbage. But I think they just have to stay out of the bottom five basement, and they might be able to do it. They were a competitive team last year. Like, they scrapped themselves and were a little bit scrappy and won some games, I think, if they can stay healthy. Last time they were back in 18-19, the last full season, they finished with 74 points. I think they're actually a better team now than they were then. So I think that they can finish with 76.
Next up is the Florida Panthers. 102.5 is their over-under total. One of the higher totals, especially in that division. Just a tick below Boston. They add Sam Reinhart in the offseason. They re-sign Sam Bennett. They re-sign Anthony Duclair, Mackenzie Weegar. They're going to get Aaron Ekblad back healthy. I think they re-sign Brandon Montour, too, if you want that, on their bottom four. I think Spencer Knight is going to play more games than people think this year. I think he could take over that net at some point in the later stages of the season. Bobrovsky, obviously, I think will open as the season just because of the contract. But I think one of the two will be playing at a high level in net. And I love the Reinhart trade. I hope they play him at center. I think I've read that that's going to be what they start with. I think Reinhart proved at the end of last year that he can play center. He was drafted as one, and the Sabres just didn't want to do it for some reason. And he's always been able to do it. And he did it when he was forced into duty last year. Because otherwise, I like Florida on the wing. I like Carter Verhaeghe. Huberto is amazing, obviously. Frank Vetrano, Owen Tippett can give you a few goals, although he's not giving you much else. They re-signed Duclair. Hornquist is still there. But second line center to me was a hole. I don't think Sam Bennett is capable of being a top six centerman in the NHL. I think Reinhart is. And I think that's their hope. I think that's their plan. We'll see if it works. Either way, though, I think this is a great team, but it's a tough division. I already picked Boston to go over. It's going to be tough for multiple teams to reach that total. I think they're a playoff team, but I would be just a tad under the 102.5.
I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over on this team. I think I'm higher on Florida than I am on Boston. So that would make sense. Like, I see Florida as the number two team in this division, to be quite honest with you, even ahead of the Maple Leafs. Don't tell my subscribers at Locked On Leafs that I said that, but just kidding. But I do. I really like what they've done. They had a solid season last year. Last season, they were on an 82 game pace for 115 points. So you give me 102.5. Yeah, I think they blow past that. Maybe not blow past it, but they'll get past that. Like, and that was a tough division too, right? Last year, they were going up against Carolina. They were going up against Pittsburgh, Washington, New York. Like, that was a difficult division. Or no, they were in the division with... No, that was a
they were... Yeah, they were with...
Tampa, Carolina.
Nashville.
Yeah, that was actually an easier division now that I think about it. But I mean, Tampa and Carolina, they had to play them 9-10 times a piece. And still being able to be on a 115 point pace. I mean, they're still going to be able to beat up on teams like Buffalo, like Detroit. I don't think Montreal is going to be very good. So you're still going to have some trash teams that they can pile up points on. And then they'll be super competitive with those good clubs as well. So I think that they'll sneak past that 102.5 mark. I think like 104, 105 points seems like a pretty good landing spot for the Panthers on an 82 game season.
Before we get to the rest of the Eastern Conference, a quick minute for rockauto.com. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more on the same parts for your car from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They got everything you can need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Eastern Conference over under totals from betonline.ag. Next up, the Montreal Canadiens, who reached the Stanley Cup final last season. They come in at 90.5 for Montreal. That's got to be one of the lowest over-unders for a team after making the Stanley Cup. But I think it's deserved. I don't think this team is very good. I think Jesperi Kotkaniemi was not playing a major role there, but I think he was a nice player. They lose him. They replace him, I guess, kind of with Christian Dvorak. Not a bad player. They're trying Mike Hoffman on for size in their top six, it sounds like. I think they got a lot of Band-Aids on this team. Shea Weber doesn't seem like he's right all season, right? Do I have that?
He's out for the year, yeah. Totally out for the year.
So you don't have Shea Weber. I guess Carey Price is healthy at this point, but who knows if that's going to last. I to me, that
a
team.
Full year Cole Caulfield, though. Like, we can't underestimate
that's true.
Cole Caulfield coming into this team. They get David Savard on the back end, which clearly is a downgrade from Shea Weber. Yeah. But, I mean, he's still a decent player on the right side there. Someone who's got that jam that could kind of take over when it comes to the defensive and the penalty killing responsibilities of Shea Weber.
Yeah, I would be on the under with Montreal, though. I think they are reliant on Carey Price, who's been wildly inconsistent in the regular season the past couple of years, and I just don't know what version of him you're going to get over an 82-game season.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on this as well. I just think it's too tough of a division to say that we're going to have five teams with 90 points. I don't see it happening. So I see Tampa coming out on top, and then some combination of Toronto, Florida, Boston. And then honestly, I feel like the Senators may even be in that mix with Montreal at that spot. Like, they're closer to the Sens to me than they are to this trio of other teams that are going to be competing for a playoff spot. So I don't see them making the playoffs either. I don't see them cracking the 90-point mark. So I'm also going to take the under.
Next up, the New Jersey Devils at 89.5, only 1 point below Montreal. I'm under on them as well. I know they signed Dougie Hamilton in the offseason. I love the signing for him. And I like Mackenzie Blackwood as well. I think we're doing our Team Canada projections on Locked On Sabres the other day, and I had him currently as their number three goaltender, so he wouldn't be dressing for games. But I like Blackwood, but there's not a lot else I like, honestly.
No, and I mean, Jack Hughes going into his third year, maybe he takes that leap that we've all been waiting for him to take, a healthy Nico Hischier. They signed Thomas Tatar. So I think they should get more offensively. And then also, obviously, you got yourself Dougie Hamilton. But at the end of the day, I still don't think this is a very good team. And that is a very difficult division. Like, the East is just a juggernaut. Like, there's legitimately 12 teams who could compete for a playoff spot. There's only eight spots, and I just don't see the Devils as one of those teams. So to see them projected up in the high, what is it, 89.5?
89.5.
Yeah, no, under. Absolutely, positively, this is going under.
Yeah. I do like Igor Sharangovich, the young Belarusian kid that they have there.
Who had 30... Yanni Kukkonen. Kukkonen had himself a really good season as well last year. And so Miles Wood, another player, he's a good depth guy, middle six type player. He's got a little bit of jam and sandpaper to him. But at the end of the day, I don't see, there's no like star status. And
right.
Unless Jack Hughes takes that next step that they are expecting him to take, I don't see them even coming close to this number, to be honest with you. This is that seems like just they're just giving you money. Like, they're just like, hey, here, this is a gimme. Take
that
the under.
Maybe one of our favorite bets so far among these is the under on New Jersey.
Yeah.
That is going to be tough to beat. We'll try it with the New York teams next. The Islanders at 98.5. The Islanders at 98.5. In fact, let's do both New York teams right now. The Rangers are 95.5. The Islanders are 98.5. Not a large discrepancy between the two. What's your opinion on the New York teams? Who do you like more? Because I know you've always been, like last year especially, you're a big Rangers guy.
Yeah, I like both of these squads. I really do. And when it comes to like this division, I think they have a good chance to be competitive in it. But it's, again, it's a tough division, and I don't know which one. This is the hard part. I don't know which one of these teams I feel most comfortable taking the over at, but only one of those teams is going to hit the over. Like, that's what I do know. So I don't know which one it's going to be, but I know it's only going to be one of them.
All right, so you're picking one over and one under for New York is the way we're going to do it here.
Yes.
I think I would agree with that. I think I would be a little more definitive in thinking it's going to be the Islanders, though. The Rangers had a weird offseason. It seemed like they were trying harder to not let Tom Wilson beat them up again than they were worrying about like what's actually happening on the ice. And I think the Rangers have potential Because I think if Lafreniere takes a step forward, if Kako takes a step forward, Shesterkin, if he can stay healthy, then I think they've got the young pieces that can kind of catapult them above the Islanders. But if you pin me down, I would probably say New York just because of the consistency they've shown, the Islanders, that is, over the past couple of years.
And that's just what they always do. Like they just consistently always go out there and kill it.
I'm done doubting them. I'm done doubting the Islanders. I think it every year. This year, you know what? 98.5 is not a crazy high total. Fine. Over on the Islanders. I hate it.
I think we're both at that point. I think a lot of people are at that point where we've doubted the Islanders for so long, and now it's finally time to buy in. I mean, Paul Mary fit like a glove when he came over there last year. He's now there for the long haul, signed a 4-year deal. He's going to be there. Anthony Beauvillier, I think, is a pretty solid player that they have as well. Anders Lee is going to be healthy again. Keep in mind, he was out last year during the playoffs and towards the end of the season, and they kept her going, right? So they had some guys who really stepped up. Oliver Wahlstrom really started to turn into something toward the end of the year. And then defensively, I think Adam Pellick had one of the biggest glow-ups from the season prior to last year and got rewarded with a nice, handsome deal for it this season. He's a terrific defenseman, along with Ryan Pulock, Noah Dobson, a former first-round pick. He's coming in. And we can't forget about our boy, Big Z, signing a 1-year deal going back to the island. So they're going to get some veteran leadership there as well, and possibly the best goaltending combo in the league with Varlamov and Ilya Sorokin. So I'm not doubting this team anymore. I don't think they need superstars. They just have depth. They play well. They got great coaching. Barry Trotz has an unbelievable system, and they just win.
Next up on our list is the Ottawa Senators, 73.5. I think I heard you with a little bit of optimism earlier for Ottawa.
Yeah, I'm going to hit the over on that. Definitely hit the over. I think Ottawa is a decent club. Like, are they a playoff contender? No, but they're one of those teams that's like going to be on the outside looking in, like in between 70 and like, or 17th and 22nd in the league, right? Like just one of those teams that, you know, aren't going to make the playoffs, but they are starting to trend in the right direction where you think maybe they're only just 1 year away. You know what I mean? So I think this is a squad that has some good pieces. They signed Drake Batherson to a nice contract. They've got Connor Brown as a great depth piece. Josh Norris played really well last season as a rookie. He's going into his second year. Timmy Stutzel looked unbelievable. Shane Pinto, another young cat. They can get Brady Tkachuk signed, obviously. That's going to be a big key to this thing right now. And then defensively, you know, Thomas Chabot's an absolute horse for them. Zaitsev played well. Zoo played well. They could use some help on the back end, to be honest. So that's probably, I think, where a big downfall is. And then we'll see if they can get a rebound out of Matt Murray. But they're a scrappy team. You know, they're well coached, and I think that they'll be able to sneak some points throughout the year, steal some wins, just bring teams to overtime, keep it close, and, you know, just get some points on the board, and that's how you end up achieving the over. So I think that they will go over that number.
I just don't trust their goalies in any way. I Matt Murray was abysmal last year. It's not a high number, but in fact, it's incredibly low number, obviously. The money, by the way, is on the under, because you can only get the over at -125. That would mean that the money's coming in on the over. I would go under. It's not high. I don't think they would be down much further than that. But I think they're so bad in net. They remind me. You know what? Actually, never mind. I'm changing. I'm going over. They remind me a lot of the Devils. Like, they have some nice young pieces, but I just don't know who I could count on to score goals game in and game out. And while yes, New Jersey has a much better goaltending situation in my view, not enough to make up a 17-point difference. That's a massive difference in the line. So, you know what? I'll join you. I'll go over on Ottawa as well. Philadelphia, over under 94.5. What did they do? They traded Jacob Voracek for Cam Atkinson. They're rolling into the season with Carter Hart again in net. They re-signed Joel Farabee. I mean, they didn't do a lot major, I guess. Ryan Ellis. Oh, Ryan, the blue line. Sorry. Ryan Ellis, Rasmus Ristolainen. Do we like those moves?
I like Ryan Ellis.
I agree. That's exactly how I look at it.
Keith Yandel, they brought in Keith Yandel as well. They did kind of totally reshape that blue line, but I believe I saw Sammy Morin's going to miss some time, as well as Kevin Hayes. I think I saw today there was a report that he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with some sort of injury. So that kind of takes a hit to their center depth. So, you know, that kind of blows, and that means that Morgan Frost is going to have to come up and play a big role, or perhaps you move Konechny back into the middle. They're going to have to do something there, obviously, if Hayes is gone. But what was the number? 79 and a half?
94 and a half. You thought it was 79? That's amazing. That's so amazing.
Under.
I love the reaction to that so much. And I love that you were 15. I should have had you guess the Philly total. 94 and a half. I'd be on the under as well. I think they're going to be, I would pick them in the 80s somewhere, like the mid 80s.
Well, I'd say if it was 79 and a half, I probably would have took the over just because I'm thinking like,
but
you know, they could end up like 84, 83, 84 points somewhere in that regard. But like, are they even a top five team in their division?
Not if they're gonna play Rasmus Ristolainen in 26 minutes a night.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, legitimately, you've got all right, we'll start here. Washington, are they better than Washington?
Ooh, those two would be very close for me, but I'm not high on Washington this year. But even still, yes, Washington. For the exercise, Washington.
Pittsburgh.
Carolina.
The Islanders. Rangers.
The Rangers.
So that gives Philly as the sixth best team in this division. Do you think that the sixth best team in this division is going to have 89 points?
I don't think so. I think their best case scenario is fourth. The only teams I can even reasonably see them finishing above are the Rangers and Washington. And even that, I think, is a stretch.
I think so too. I mean, look, Claude Giroux is 33 years old. He's not a spring chicken. So you got to hope that he continues to play at a high level. JVR had an outstanding season last year. He was on a torrid pace. I don't expect for him to replicate that going into this year. Cam Atkinson's kind of been on the decline the last couple of seasons as well, while he was kind of withering away in Columbus. I like Travis Konechny. He's a piece that I really like a lot. Couturier, obviously. But outside of those guys, I mean, Joel Farabee is a player who I could see coming in and having a big impact for this team. He's kind of someone I peg as somewhat of a breakout star. I know that his 5-on-5 numbers were absolutely incredible a season ago. I think he was like number one in 5-on-5 goals per 60, I want to say. Or he was for a very long, long time. He was up there in the top. And defensively, like I said, like Ivan Provorov, solid defenseman. They went out, they got Ryan Ellis. I like Travis Sanheim a little bit, but yeah, Ristolainen, we'll see. And then, but realistically, this is going to come down to what Carter Hart are you going to get? Are you going to get Carter Hart from his rookie year, or get Carter Hart from last season? If it's last year, they don't stand a chance. Yeah. Do not stand a chance. And let's be honest here. When these over-unders totals are set, in order to hit the over, like 80% of the time, things have to go very, very right. Things don't go very, very right in Philadelphia that often. And I could see this goalie graveyard having a tough time for Carter Hart. The under is just an easy bet. Next to the Devils, this is probably the easiest under bet that's out there on the board.
Well, let's round out the Metropolitan Division here. We've got the Pittsburgh Penguins at 97.5, and we've got the Washington Capitals at 95.5. I know we both like both of them more than we like Philadelphia. What about in comparison to each other? The numbers are close, but obviously Pittsburgh with the extra 2 points there. I'd be on the under on Washington and the over on Pittsburgh.
Let me quickly take a peek and see what Pittsburgh did this offseason. So they'll have a healthy Malkin, a healthy Sid, Gensel, Zucker, Rust. Jeff Carter's back into the mix, which actually I like a lot. Defensively, that's the thing. Like, this is, we now are getting into some problems here with this team where There's question marks at goaltender. Like, what Tristan Jarry are you going to get? Like, this is kind of the same situation as we were just talking about with Carter Hart. Are you going to get Tristan Jarry from his rookie season? Or are you going to get Tristan Jarry from last year? Because he was not good last season. He was actually downright awful. And it's not like they improved their defense. Like, they're coming in with the same defense, if not worse, than a season ago. And how much do you believe that guys like Crosby, Gensel, Malkin, like, are they just going to keep replicating the same success year after year? Like, is there a drop-off at some point going to come to the offense of these guys? Like, I guess not Gensel since he's still young, but I mean, Crosby and Malkin, is there a drop-off as they are now 34 and 35 years old? And if a drop-off does occur at in any point, I don't see them hitting the over on that total.
Mm-hmm. And then what about Washington at 95 and a half?
Washington, I feel a little bit, I feel more comfortable with. I actually think Washington is the better club of the two for whatever reason. I think that, you know, Backstrom and Ovi are still got their thing going. Kuznetsov is still a fantastic player. Oshie, Mantha, Tom Wilson, like, they've got some really good depth. And then defensively, they've, you know, John Carlson, Orlov, I like what they got going. And then Samsonov, I think, is going to have a better year than he did last season. He struggled last year, but I think he's a good goaltender. So I think that he'll be able to stabilize the net a little bit more for them. And if not, I mean, Vitek Vanacek actually did really well last year while Samsonov was out multiple times with some COVID problems or injuries or whatever was going on with him. Vanacek played well. So, I mean, they've got a good tandem in net as in themselves. And then I'm just not going to bet against Alex Ovechkin either. So I actually like Washington a little bit more than I do Pittsburgh this year. So I'm going to take the over for Washington and the under for Pittsburgh.
And finally, we saved the best for last. The two highest point totals in the Eastern Conference. The Toronto Maple Leafs at 105.5. And the Tampa Bay Lightning at 107.5. Who has the highest point total in the Eastern Conference? Is it one of these two teams even for you?
Good question. I don't know. The other team that I have in there, again, is Carolina, because I have Carolina as kind of my sneaky team to kind of dummy the Metro a little bit and come out on top. So do I think Carolina could come out with more points in the Metro and be that number one seed? I don't know. I think it's a two horse race for me between Carolina and Tampa. Tampa to me is by far the number one team in this division. They're going to dummy it. So the number there, what was it again?
It was 107.5.
Yeah, they're going to dummy that, so I'll take the over on 107.5. Their last 82-game season, do you know what their number was there?
Wasn't it like 130? It was something. It was just stupid. It was video game stats.
It was 128.
That's 128. Insane. That's insane.
Yeah, so now this season, you've got a completely healthy Nikita Kucherov, and we saw what a healthy a barely healthy Kucherov looked like. I mean, it didn't take him long to get going once the playoffs hit, but he tore it up. You're going to have a healthy Stamkos, healthy Braden Point. They still have that back blue line is just unbelievable. This is the deepest team from player one to player 23 on the roster. You know what I mean? And they also have the best goaltender on the planet. So they're not going to lose a lot of games. So I'm going to take the over for Tampa, and I hate to do it, but I'm taking the under for Toronto, and I think it's an easy under and some easy money for taking that one.
I would be over on Tampa and under on Toronto, just like you are. That was one of the more surprising lines for me, that it was that high, 95.5.
You know where it is, 105.5? You know why?
Yeah, like,
I can tell you exactly why it is. Like, Toronto is just such a massive hockey market, right? And Toronto, people are so gung-ho about this team, so they're just going to bet high. They think, this team's going to – they're going to do so great. And they just are betting over. So, and because it's not even that they're betting the overs, but early on you had a lot of Stanley Cup votes as well, or Stanley Cup bets as well. So they have a high implied win total, and I don't agree with it. Like I said, I see this team coming in third in this division, not in the top two spots. And I don't see this team being third place with 106 points. If I'm not mistaken, this team has never, ever eclipsed 105 points. So this would be a career year, best season as an organization if they were to get the over on that total. And I don't think this team is any better than they were a year ago. So I think the under is the safe bet and probably going to end up being the correct bet.
All right. Well, that's it. That's the Eastern Conference. We did Washington at 95.5. So yeah, we are completed. So that's going to do it for us. Again, head over to betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus when you make your first bet. And that's going to do it for us. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Mike is at Mickey_Canuck. And this has been the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.